Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever Bear Necessities podcast. This is Austin and Reese from the Truth Football Podcast. We decided to kind of revamp the podcast and go with a completely Bears theme. It's a little bit difficult to succeed in the podcast world when you're an all NFL podcast, and there's just too many topics to cover every week. I know that, Reese, you thought this was a good transition, even though you actually are a LA Chargers fan.
Yeah, I am a Chargers fan, but I'm being out in DeKalb at NIU. I am still very much exposed to the whole Bears world and definitely have to keep touch with it. I've always followed the Bears my whole life. Rest of the family is a Bears fan. Basically, all my friends are Bears fans. So, yeah, it's something I'm immersed in, and I'm definitely like the change. I'm ready to, you know, go face first into the Bears, you know?
He's ready to come on board. I know you've always, you know, viewed the Bears through a positive light, though.
Of course. I don't mean them no harm.
Yeah. So let's kick this episode off. Pretty much this episode, we're just going to go through the entire schedule. Well, besides preseason games, because who cares about those? Go week by week. We're going to talk a little bit about the matchups. And then we're going to give our, at the end of the episode, give a complete win-loss record. And, do you want to kick it off, Reese?
Yeah. So week one, I'm really excited for this one. Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field, Sunday Night Football. What a way to kind of kick off the season. I think, you know, we went to a Sunday night game last year against Vikings, and that was definitely an awesome atmosphere. So I think it's going to be a great atmosphere to start off the season.
Lots of energy, a little bit of the Bear Raid siren again.
Yeah, a little bit of that. And, you know, the story is basically out on this matchup. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, Mitch Trubisky, you know, the Bears kind of blew the game last year at the beginning of the season. They got to make up for that. And, you know, I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how both these teams square up week one. Each team is probably going to pull some plays outside the bag that they weren't really willing to show during preseason. I think it's going to be good. Probably end up being a tight game, as it always is. Heavy hitting, lots of energy. Ultimately, though, I think that the Bears end up getting the win on this one. You know, I think they ended up bringing it back home in front of the home crowd and give the fans something to be excited about.
Yeah, you know, Green Bay, they made a lot of moves this offseason to try to repair a pretty damaged roster. And to try to put something out that Rodgers could possibly succeed with in the last couple years he has in the league. Rodgers, his health has been a major concern these past 2 years. But ultimately, I wasn't a huge fan of a lot of the moves that Green Bay made. LaFleur, I don't really like LaFleur that much. I think that, you know, he's kind of a part of a reach that's going on right now in the NFL, where everyone wants the hot up-and-coming offensive coordinator, and I think that there's only so many of those names, you know.
Feels like they're playing catch-up a bit.
Exactly. They're following the league. They're trying to follow the league, and usually that doesn't work. LaFleur, he's had one offense that he's called plays for, and that was the Titans, and they ranked nearly dead last in the league in many of the major statistics. Granted, he didn't have the most talent, and he didn't have the best quarterback in Marcus Mariota, but you'd expect something better than that for someone who's going from 2 years of being an offensive coordinator to being a head coach. I know they drafted Rashawn Gary. I wasn't too high on Rashawn Gary in the draft process. I don't know about you, Reese. You're a Michigan fan. Yeah. Maybe you could get into that a little bit
more. I'm a Michigan fan, but I feel like he never really developed fully into what he was supposed to be. He is a tremendous athlete. I don't know if the heart's not there, if he takes some plays off. But, you know, the statistics aren't really there to back him up. I think he oftentimes was getting double teamed, which is why, you know, the sack number isn't super high. But then again, you know, that's a Green Bay defensive front that's not particularly strong. So he might even be getting double teamed again. So it's not like he's going to be getting a lot of free releases.
Oftentimes when I was watching Michigan, pass rusher who stood out the most to me was Chase Winovich.
Yeah.
He was very productive. And I know the Patriots, of course, grabbed him. Who would have guessed? A steal. I think it was in like round three. I think that's a great pickup by the Patriots. But putting that aside, when you're taking a player like Rashawn Gary, who, you know, isn't exactly developed in his technique and is viewed as more of an athletic talent rather than a pass rusher. When you don't see the pass rushing productivity at the college level, not only do you have to bet that, you know, he's going to translate his on the field, he's going to translate to the NFL, but you have to also, because if he translates to the NFL in the way that he was playing in college, like if he starts putting up the statistics in the NFL that he was putting up in college, that's not worth a number 12 overall pick. So you also have to bet that he's going to become productive, which I think is a big risk personally.
Yeah, well, it is. You're banking on him actually improving on the next level, which I think he has the capability of doing. He was a number one recruit coming out of high school, and it's not like mm-hmm. he was a complete flop, but it's a lot to ask for, especially, like you said, picking him up that high and above people that maybe were a little more proven in the college game.
Yeah, and you know, they also brought in Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens on, I think, what is going to look like one of the worst contracts in the league pretty soon. $17.5 million. If you haven't watched the NFL in recent history, the one thing that you know not to do is pay a randomly productive Ravens pass rusher a lot of money. Right. Because yeah. they just pump these guys out, and their system is so solid, so set. And, you know, it was the number one defense in the league. Za'Darius Smith is going to have that much talent around him in Green Bay. I don't like a lot of their free agent moves. I don't like the head coach signing, and I got to say that I really think this is going to be a defining win for Chicago. I want to say that they're going to win this game by 2 scores in Soldier
Field.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Damn. That's a little bit different, but I think Rodgers keeps it close against the Bears, so I think they get the win, but I think it's a little more grimy.
Yeah. But,
all right, so we both give them the win on that one on week two.
So that's 1-0
right now. 1-0 for us both, and week two, they have the Bears going to Denver Broncos playing an afternoon game in Mile High. And I think that's probably the aspect that concerns me most.
Definitely. Exactly the Broncos, same thing here.
The Broncos, not an amazing offense. They found something good with Trevor Lindsay late in the year last year. The defense has always been tough. Philip Lindsay, my bad.
No bad, no problem.
Blanking on the name a little bit. But Philip Lindsay, great bet running back. Sorry for smearing your name a bit. But also, that defense is still good. Von Miller, you know, he doesn't get all the hype that he used to, but he is still a force. And with Vic Fangio, a former Bears coordinator from just last year coming in, it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. He's probably going to know what the Bears are going to bring to him, at least offensively. And we'll see how they adjust. I can't see the Bears losing to the Broncos, but I think it's going to be tight again because of the home atmosphere that Denver has. I would think that the Bears scrape out a win and improve to 2-0 here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Denver isn't a team, you know, roster wise on paper that I look at and I say, I don't look at this team and I say, this is a major threat. I mean, Joe Flacco at quarterback.
Right. Yeah. It's something I forgot to address, but yeah.
Not very promising there. They don't have too much promise in their receivers. Philip Lindsay is good. And I know they got a Rolls Royce Freeman who had a good fantasy year. And he's been a good change of pace and he's worked well with Lindsay. And of course, they got that great duo in Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, kind of, you know, extending that Denver tradition of pairing
edge pass rush. Yeah,
a very solid, a great edge pass rusher with a young high pick. I think Bradley Chubb and Von Miller are going to be amazing in Vic Fangio's defense. And, you know, Chris Harris Jr. is one of the most overlooked cornerbacks. I know he made his name for himself mostly out of the slot, but he's still done a good job out in the perimeter these past couple of years. I think that Denver is going to have a great defense under Vic Fangio, but I just don't see them having much offensive stability. Mile High Stadium, again, is a very difficult stadium to play in, which, you know, gives me some concern. And that's why I find it difficult to just say, oh, yeah, this is going to be a big win. If this was in Soldier Field, I would say this would be a blowout. But because of Vic Fangio, because we're in Denver, I think this is going to be a close win.
I could easily see this being with a pretty poor game from both quarterbacks. I think Mitch Trubisky is a good quarterback, but I could see this being a pretty poor game from each quarterback.
It's hard to play there. It's yeah, very different than any other stadium. It's a
difficult environment. Very difficult environment. And I could see like a 13-6 game, even maybe a 17-7. I think those are the kind of scores that we're looking at in this one. And you did bring up Joe Flacco a little bit before I move on to the week three. Joe Flacco, I don't think he's going to do too much for them. Of course, the Broncos are a team that I'm concerned about as a Chargers fan. But, you know, Flacco's been really tailing off in his career. Like, his stats have really fallen off. And, of course, it's not all about stats, but this is a man that got benched for Lamar Jackson, who I don't think
And that's pretty bad.
Either.
That yeah. A quarterback who has won, not only got benched for Lamar Jackson, but has previously won a Super Bowl, and the team chose to go with the rookie who was fumbling the ball all the time in the playoffs. That's a great point, Reese. One last thing that I wanted to say is, for those of you who listen to the Truth Football Podcast, you will know that in our mock draft, I said that the Denver Broncos will for sure draft Drew Lock, because I hated Drew Lock and I knew he was the exact quarterback that Elway likes. And sure enough, they did. They got him a lot lower than I thought that they would in the second round. But I still don't have a good outlook on Drew Lock either. So,
yeah, no, me neither. I think we both share the sentiment there. Okay, so week three, I think this is going to be one of the more interesting matchups. Week three at the Washington Redskins. Okay, I feel like the Redskins are a team that the Bears have struggled with in the past. Mm-hmm. There's some
that
real.
Jay Cutler threw four picks.
Yeah.
To who was that? Hall.
Hall. Yeah.
That was brutal. That was brutal. That was brutal. That game was brutal.
Yeah, it was a brutal game. And we got a question mark at quarterback, Dwayne Haskins potentially starting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see how well he fits in that offense and everything. I'm really actually excited to see how this Redskins team is going to be. I think they could contend in that division, to be honest. Maybe
it's a weak division.
Yeah, it's a weak division, and the Eagles and the Cowboys are both kind of unstable. I don't see the Giants doing absolutely anything this year.
No.
So I think it's kind of going to be a three-way race to the finish, to be honest. I think it's going to be a fight to get to 10-6 for each one of those teams in the division.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think this could be where the Bears get their first loss, to be honest. Just maybe a little hiccup after starting pretty good. Nothing, probably just a game where some things go wrong. And I'm feeling the L on this one for whatever reason. So 2-1.
You know, I understand where you're coming from, Reese. Definitely the Bears in the past have struggled with Washington. But the way I view Nagy and the way I view this team, especially the way I view, you know, Chuck Pagano, I just don't see them letting a team like Washington stop them. Now, I know there's hiccups and everything. Like, you can point back to the Dolphins game this past season. But with a rookie quarterback going against the best defense in the NFL, well, it was the best defense in the NFL last year. We don't know yet this year. But I just think that's a recipe for disaster. I think the Bears take the win here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair enough. I just, you know, it's just one of those games that you have a feeling about. It's more or less not about the Redskins being better than the Bears, because I don't think they are. It's just a mix of things that I just feel like could potentially go wrong. But onwards to week four, back to another divisional matchup. First of two games, the Bears get the first one at home. It's the Minnesota Vikings playing an afternoon game, September 29th. Vikings, interesting team. I saw something on ESPN recently ranking them as one of the top five offenses. I thought that was pretty bold after how bad Kirk Cousins was last year.
Yeah, that is bold.
They have a lot of weapons in Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. You can keep going down. That offense should be one that succeeds very well if the quarterback sitting behind center was competent and capable. But therein lies the problem. It's a defense that I think has been overrated for the past two seasons, hasn't produced mm-hmm. to what they should.
Especially with a defensive head coach. You'd think there'd be more stability on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings had a bit an off year. I think they might pick up a little bit this year, but in reality, I don't think there's a team in the division that's better than the Bears, and I think the Bears end up taking this one, getting back on the right track, and improve to 3-1.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. After I saw Minnesota's absolutely pathetic week 17 against the Bears, when Mitch had none of his starting receivers, and then halfway through the game we pulled the entire starting defense, and the Bears were just wreaking havoc in the Viking stadium so much that Kirk Cousins was fighting with Adam Thielen on the sidelines. It was brutal.
It was a must-win game for them, I do believe.
Yeah, they would have made the playoffs if they won that game. They couldn't pull through. I just don't think Kirk Cousins... Something I really want to emphasize is that with a defense like Chicago, you really need to have an elite-level quarterback to stand a chance, or at least a top 10 quarterback. And I don't view Kirk Cousins as that. I think I think Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that can handle crappy teams, can manhandle them and pad his stats. But when it comes down to the big game, when it comes down to the big teams, he never shows up, ever. His record against winning teams is horrible. I don't really view Minnesota as a big team in the division, and I think the Packers honestly could finish above them this year. I'm taking that as a win. That's 4-0 for the Bears right now.
Yeah, damn, we got them on a rapid start, and yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. I mean, they're a very inconsistent team, and if they end up getting off to a slow start, I think it could go belly up really fast. I think they're a team that needs to watch out. They need to get on track quickly and make sure they start the season quick to make sure that they don't really sputter outside the gate. And moving on to week 5, I think this is something very fortunate that I just noticed on the Bears' schedule. They get the away game for London, which is very nice.
Exactly.
And they play the Oakland Raiders. It's going to be a noon start, actually. And I do not see a way that the Bears lose this game, if I'm being honest. The Raiders, they're still in rebuilding. They've made some moves. I think
they made the move of drafting Cleveland Farrell, fourth overall?
Yeah, I do believe so. And I don't think they had a particularly bad draft. I think they had a decent draft, but... we'll have to. I don't think this is a ship that's going to right itself in 1 year, to be honest.
No, I don't either. I think that's a great way to put it, Reese. Something that I've absolutely roasted the Raiders with before is just an inconsistency in their plan. They are so mindless with their acquisitions. You trade away Khalil Mack a season before because you say that you don't have any money. Okay. And then you go into this offseason and spend a whole bunch of money on players who I get. And what they spend, like $16.5 million on the one New England offensive tackle, whatever his name is.
Yeah, we always blank on his name. But that just kind of shows you how interesting of a signing that is. It's not even one of the top notable linemen. But
yeah, exactly. It's not. And you know the history of New England linemen. We were talking about the history of the Ravens edge defenders. The history of New England linemen is horrible. You look at Nate Solder. Was it Dante Scarnecchi, the offensive line coach, is a genius. He's able to just build these guys and, you know, get them out, and they can't succeed without him. And then they pay LaMarcus Joyner a whole bunch of money to come there. And those two signings alone is way over what Khalil Mack is getting paid. So, yeah, I'm going to roast the Raiders a little bit for that. Second off, they signed guys like Vontaze Burfict, okay? And then they also signed Richie Incognito. Yeah. And then they take Cleveland Farrell with the fourth overall pick Because they say he's a good character guy.
I don't think they care too much about character.
No, like, if you're looking for good character guys, if you're a team and you're only bringing in guys with good character, and then you make that draft pick, I say, you know what? I disagree with it, but they're sticking to a plan, okay? It just makes no sense. And I still feel like Oakland just has really screwed up. And I think they're locked into a little bit of trouble with John Gruden. I think this is a win just because I think Oakland is completely dysfunctional right now.
All right. So we're both at consensus there. So heading into bye week, which is week 6, I have the Bears at 4-1 and you have them at 5-0.
Yep.
So both of them have it a pretty good start. Although I do think after the bye week, even though they have a week to repair, I do think trouble is coming a little bit. Playing the New Orleans Saints, they do have the benefit of playing at Soldier Field here. Get to go up against.
If I can make a point real quick,
yeah.
Drew Brees outside of the dome, especially in cold conditions, and it's October 20th. There's a very good chance in Chicago it can be snowing on October 20th.
It's not likely, but it could be out of the realm of possibility.
Or it's going to be cold, and I think that's going to play into the game.
You know what, I was thinking pretty dead set on the Saints, to be honest, until you really brought that
Drew
up. Because
Brees out of the dome is not the same quarterback.
Let me preface this, that I would say if this was being played in New Orleans, I would have the Bears absolutely dead to rights on a loss in this one, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they'd just be
overwhelmed. And I'm going to stick to the loss because I don't want to be changed by you like heading into this. I don't want to change around what I was thinking too much. So I will give them the loss, but I will say that this is going to be a tight game and it's not going to be high scoring. I think at the max, I'm thinking like a 24-20 game if the Bears lose, which I think they will. I'm going to stick to that. But you're going to see, I think, an interesting game. And I think it could end up being a good loss for the Bears because if we have them starting off this good, maybe they're getting a little arrogant and cocky and this is a game that sets them straight a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see. It's a lot of weapons. I think this will be the first really good test for that Bears defense, too.
Because
I think so far that the rest of the schedule, the Vikings, Raiders, Packers, Broncos, those aren't the elite offenses, but the Saints is an elite offense. And so it'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
Yeah, the Saints are a great team. Defense is underrated, in my opinion. The offense is very good. Something that I mentioned earlier, obviously Drew Brees isn't the same quarterback outside the dome as he is inside the dome. That's just, at this point, I think most NFL fans would agree with that statement. And playing in October 20th, it's probably going to be pretty cold. And I really do think the weather of this game can affect the outcome. Like, if there's a day to be cold in Chicago in October, this is the day for the Bears, you know. Because I really think that's going to affect the outcome of the game, the weather. And something else that I'm a little worried about, and I could be completely wrong about this. Towards the end of the season last year, Drew Brees seemed to have a little bit of trouble throwing the ball downfield. He started out really hot on MVP track at the beginning of last year, and it seemed like the offense started to sputter a little bit at the end of that. I don't know if that's just going to be some regression on Drew Brees' part. I think he's 40 now, or very close to it. I think the Bears out of the bye week. See, this is actually starting to trouble me because the Bears always have trouble out of bye weeks. Because they had trouble against the Dolphins out of the bye this year. And then they had like. I think the Dolphins game was after the bye and they lost it. And in the past, they've lost after bye weeks or after like mini bye weeks. And they lost to the Giants off of a like mini bye week that was between the Lions Thanksgiving game and then the next like Monday night game or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a really tough call. I think that.
Just say it. You know you want to say that they win.
I think that they win this game. Okay. So. I really think that they win this game.
Yeah. All right. So we're at a difference again. And week 8's coming up, and the Bears are playing against my team, the LA Chargers. Mm-hmm.
Which are just a horrible team, a shit team. I'm kidding. I actually love their draft.
Hopefully by now are chugging along and are playing at full force, no hiccups, no injuries. And it's October 27th matchup, a noon start, which is actually a pretty big deal. You got to take that into account. That's a West Coast team playing the start as early as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the LA Chargers do not do well with that. I mean, last season they kind of bucked the trend a little bit, but they've always had trouble with noon starts. It's kind of plagued them a little bit. I really want to rock and ride with my team on this one. The Chargers are a fast team. I hopefully can exploit the Bears a little bit, kind of test the secondary, test them over top. You know, we'll see. Hopefully, I think by then, first off, I think Clinton Dix, new news that he's on the pup list going into training camp.
Yeah, but I think that's a little season. Yeah, I think he's going to start the season. Yeah. You know how teams, they usually kind of exploit the pup list to get more players on the active roster. Right. Because they can get an extra roster spot. So I don't know how serious it really is.
Yeah, but, so yeah, we'll see. But I bet you by now, Clinton Dix. So this is going to be a really interesting matchup. I do want to take the Chargers, though, just because I'm feeling the Chargers for once. Usually I would never pick for my team, but I'm just going to go for it. I think that Phillip Rivers, I think he's feeling like this is his season, like a do-or-die kind of thing, and I hope he's playing with some passion and just slings the ball. He's a quarterback that can make some mistakes, and I'm sure the Bears will force him in a couple mistakes. I don't think this will be a perfect game for him, but I don't know. He's played in tough environments, and I think he can pull it off.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that in order to beat the Bears, I really think you need to have an elite quarterback. Just because of that defense. I mean, if you don't have a really good quarterback, it's going to be a difficult time beating the Bears. Chargers have that in Phillip Rivers. There's a couple things that I think can impact this game. One, Melvin Gordon's holdout.
Yeah, that's true.
He's currently holding out, and he said that he is willing to not play the entire season. And I read something today that the Chargers also have came out and said that they are digging their heels in. So I don't even know if Melvin Gordon will be on the Chargers at this point. I'm going to assume he is, because I think that the Chargers will ultimately end up giving in because they're looking to have a Super Bowl caliber season this year. They drafted one of my favorite players in the draft, Nasir Adderley, to pair with my favorite player in the draft in 2018, Derwin James, which is a fantastic safety duo. That defense has a ton of depth at the cornerback position. Casey Hayward is a star.
Yep.
Denzel Perryman is, you know, he's not, I wouldn't call him a star middle linebacker, but he's a pretty damn good middle linebacker.
Yeah, he's not really talked about too much.
No, he's not. And then you got Big Bear Bosa and Joey Bosa from Ohio State, who's a great pass rusher.
Yeah.
That defense is amazing. They're going to be right up there with one of the best defenses in the league. And the thing, I'm going to say this is the Bears' first loss. The thing that really concerns me is that the Chargers are loaded with big-bodied wide receivers. And if there's one player that gave the Bears trouble last year, it was super shifty running backs, and it was big-bodied wide receivers because our cornerbacks are not tall. Not tall at all. I think that the Bears had a little bit of luck by beating the Saints, and I think you pencil them in for their first loss there.
All right, so you got them at 6-1 then. I have them at 4-3. All right, so heading into
you do have them at 4-3.
Yeah, I do have them at 4-3 right now. Week 9 at the Philadelphia Eagles, a big game if they end up playing out like I do after coming off back-to-back losses. But I say fear not, Bears fans. I think they get right back on schedule here. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be an interesting team to watch. A lot of different components. They get a new running back, right?
They got Miles Sanders from Penn State.
Yeah, Miles Sanders got some
Jordan Howard. They got Jordan Howard, too.
Yeah, Jordan Howard. I was about to say, they got our damn running back. Yeah. But we're not too pissed off about it. They got Jordan Howard.
Nah, he's a bum. Love
to
take him.
I could see Miles Sanders actually having a bigger impact on that offense. If I'm
I think he starts over Howard.
If I'm being honest. But because Miles Sanders is pretty good at Penn State, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but, he was good.
Yeah, I think the Bears end up handling this one pretty good. Wentz could end up being hurt at this point in the year already. And I don't think Philadelphia is particularly the hardest place to play. You know, I see the Bears being able to handle this one. I think the offense gets back on track here, too. That Philadelphia defense isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, you know, they had a really good year with some, you know, not great cornerbacks. I think that they had a pretty decent offseason, in my opinion. They went back and brought back DeSean Jackson from Tampa Bay.
Which I think is probably their best acquisition.
Yeah, that's a great move. I mean, having that speed with Alshon Jeffrey's catching ability and, you know, just being able to body cornerbacks, frankly. I think that offense is going to be pretty good. I think the jury is still out with Carson Wentz. You know, he had that MVP caliber year not too long ago. But last year, I think he was a little bit disappointing. He lost to some bad teams. They still have a good defensive line rotation, even though Chris Long retired. But I don't know. I just have a bad feeling about this game. In Philadelphia, I think the Bears have back-to-back losses. You know, when and also there's an old saying is that when a team loses the first time, that second game they're likely to lose also.
Yeah, that could be. I could see it playing out that in your scenario that way. I do think the Bears will get burned that game. You know, either I think DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey is going to get them deep, and it's probably going to lead to a quick score that's going to be concerning, but I think the Bears are able to handle it. Luckily, it's a noon start again out on the East Coast. It's going to be a kind of a crisp early November day. I feel like it doesn't play into either team's hands. I think the Bears are the better team here. So that's why I'm feeling them.
Yeah. You know, I think the Bears are also the better team. I just have a bad feeling about the game. I don't know why. I think
much
I'm
like
a little
my Redskins
maybe a little
game. The NFC East teams can be tough ones to predict because you don't know.
I mean,
what
we
you're
lost to the
get.
Giants last year. Granted, we did have what's that? Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
I really don't like Chase Daniel, but yeah, let's move on.
All right. So week 10, first time the Bears get to see the Detroit Lions, which is interesting. It happens so late in the year.
That is interesting.
Once again, it is at home. And I don't think the Bears have too much trouble with this one. I think Matthew Stafford, you're going to start to see his career taper off a little bit.
We already have, honestly.
Yeah, that could already. Last year was not a beautiful one for him. And, you know, not short of weapons on Detroit, but they've just never been balanced. They never found a good way to balance their running game and their passing game.
Yeah.
I think.
And they brought in Bevel from Seattle, who Seattle fans do not like, believe me.
I don't see this being a difficult game for the Bears. I think that they're able to contain them, and I think they're also able to score on that defense. I think has Trubisky had some trouble with Slay before? I feel like he's gotten picked off
No, I mean, maybe his rookie year, but actually he didn't actually. You know what? His rookie year, he had a little bit of trouble, but I don't put too much on him because we had Trey McBride, Tanner Gentry, and Kendall Wright as our starting receivers, so he kind of had to be more aggressive with it. And the Chase Daniel played against the Lions one time last year, and the time that Trubisky did play against the Lions, he manhandled them to begin with, but Slay wasn't playing.
Okay, that could just be something else. So like I said, I don't see them having too much trouble here. I think they get another win easy here.
Yeah, you know, the Lions, they had a pretty big offseason. I'm not a fan of Matt Patricia. I don't know about you, but I think that he's trying to be Belichickian, and he's just not that good of a coach. So his culture isn't going to really influence the team that much. And I think that players are actually getting a little pissed off about it. I heard that he was actually in a verbal argument with one of the wide receivers. I think that the Lions are trying to be the Patriots. And the one thing that you should never do in the NFL is try to copy the Patriots, because the other team who tried to do that was the Tennessee Titans, and they haven't been very good either.
It's backfired. So, you end up just getting a mediocre team instead of a perennial Super Bowl team.
The thing is that Bill Belichick is such a unique coach, and his culture is so unique and so different. It's just, you can't copy it.
Yeah, it can't be replicated.
So, I think that the Bears are going to manhandle the Lions in Soldier Field. I think that this is going to be a win of over... I think that this is going to be a win of, like, 17 points type of bad.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's the cutoff for a absolutely dominant win is a three-possession victory. That's a dominant win right there.
And I think we beat them about the same as that at Soldier Field last year. I don't see anything being different.
Okay, another exciting matchup coming up, Week 11, in what will still be beautiful and sunny Los Angeles to play the Rams. And this is going to be a Sunday night game in the Coliseum.
Big game.
So this is an interesting one, because I personally think that the Rams aren't going to be as good as they were last year. I think
They lost Sue.
Yeah.
That's a big loss.
They lost Sue, and whenever teams have these big flash of brilliance seasons, they usually kind of tend to be, I think they're a little bit of a flash in the pan team. I don't think they're going to fall off the map, but I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were last year, and definitely not as dominant.
How good do you think Jared Goff is?
I think he's an above average quarterback.
Above average?
Above average. So I'm saying he's...
Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff?
Yes.
Really?
I think if you can win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, you can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking exceptions, you know, maybe you could do that. But I'm not a Jared Goff believer. After the Super Bowl and after I saw him against the Bears last year, he just looked mindless when he was playing. The Super Bowl, and I think the thing is that Sean McVay, the difference between how Sean McVay handled Jared Goff and how Matt Nagy handled Mitch Trubisky is that Matt Nagy told Mitch Trubisky, he's just baptizing him by fire, pretty much, you know. He's like, here's the playbook, you're going to learn it this year, and then we're really going to try to contend next year. Because we had a great season this last year, but it wasn't the intended season to have, you know. We were kind of intending it to be, you know, like one final building year before these next two seasons. And what Sean McVay did with Jared Goff is he said, I'm going to baby you. I'm going to create a smaller playbook. I'm going to do all the line checks. I'm going to adjust the offense. I'm going to read the defense. So you could just focus on being the quarterback. And New England absolutely exploited the hell out of that by using all these different shadow coverages. They would pretty much change the type of coverage they're in after the mic cut off so that Sean McVay couldn't tell Jared Goff what to do. And I just don't know if Jared Goff has the mind. I don't know if he's mentally capable of playing QB in this league at a top 10 level.
So what do you think in this game? How do you think that play? Do you think the Bears end up winning this one?
Yeah, I do. Because I think they have a worse... I think they have a worse team than last year. Eric Weddle is a good acquisition, but I don't think
he's past his prime.
Yeah, he's past his prime, and I don't know if it masks the loss of Sue. I don't know. I think that the offense of this team is really being held up by Sean McVay. And I kind of view Jared Goff in a similar light that I view Kirk Cousins, if I'm being honest.
I think that's fair. I think the Bears win here too.
Yeah, so
currently
I know it's in LA, but it's not like the Rams have that big of a home field advantage anyways.
It's not a big home field advantage, and that puts the Bears up to 7-3 after 11 weeks for me.
That puts them up to 7-2 for me.
How do you
that makes no sense. 8-2.
Yeah, I was about to say, how'd you lose a game?
They just skip a game. It's no big deal. All right.
Alrighty, so week 12, once again, they're back home, New York Giants, noon start. You know what, it's a classic trap game, right after a big primetime game. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to believe that they'll lose to the Giants. So I'm not going to, I am not going to let them in my mind lose to the Giants, so I say they win.
Let's be very clear here. We came... So, if Chase Daniel didn't fumble the ball three times on the last drive in overtime last year, we would have beat them with Chase Daniel. If Chase Daniel didn't throw three picks in that game, we would have blown them out with Chase Daniel. The only times the Giants scored last season on us was in overtime off of a pick six from Chase Daniel. And two trick plays, and Odell threw one of them, and I think Eli threw another one of them. I'm not a fan of Eli Manning. I'm not a fan of Daniel Jones. I'm not a fan of the Giants coaching staff or front office in general. I think that this is a decisive win by the Bears as well, especially in Soldier Field.
Okay. Week 13, short week. The Bears are playing on Thanksgiving again. So this is an interesting one. They're playing the early game, playing at the Lions, of course, because they always host. And, yep. Oh, man, I'm looking at the record right now, and it seems too good to me.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm going to listen to you, man. There's no way.
Okay.
I don't think they lose this game, even after a short week. This is the team you want to face on the short week. It's a team that you know what you're going to get from them. There's nothing that's going to really shock you. And it's going to be, I think, a close game, because I think that the Bears might be a little rusty, and for whatever reason, the Lions play 150% on Thanksgiving Day, but they usually end up losing too. So I think that the Bears improve to 9-3 on Thanksgiving.
So what was the I it's completely blanking my mind. Who was the Lions head coach before Patricia?
That would be
what's his name?
Jim Caldwell.
I don't know if there's been a team in recent memory where you've seen them fire a head coach and then the next year the perception of the team getting so much worse.
Yeah.
Because Caldwell, granted, I don't think he was a great head coach by any means, but when they fired him, they were a borderline playoff team. There was pretty high hopes for the Lions team. The perception of the team really changed. I was worried about the Lions a little bit last year. But again, I think the Lions team are dysfunctional on an internal level. And whenever you play a dysfunctional team in their stadium or not, I think this is a win.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah, I like their chances, just because I don't trust the Lions at all. And even though it is the big game for them, I don't see them pulling it out. And that takes us to week 14, Dallas
Two
Cowboys.
Teams that chase, this is, really quickly before we change the topic.
Yeah.
The Bears actually played the Giants right after Detroit last year, and this year we're playing the Giants first and then at Detroit. It's kind of weird how they're right next to each other 2 years in a row, but
that is weird. I don't know. But versus the Dallas Cowboys, I think a week later, I think this is another Thursday night game. So I don't think the Bears get a Thursday longer night. Break. It's a back-to-back Thursday night versus the Dallas Cowboys.
In Chicago.
In Chicago, which is important. So Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper. I think they still have my little number 11. What's his name?
Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley. Nah, he went to the Bills.
No, that's too damn bad. Oh my
God. Yeah, I know, right?
Cole Beasley is my dude, but yeah. So it's an interesting, more than likely, probably inconsistent again, Dallas Cowboys offense. Good defense. Not amazing, but good. Mm-hmm. Good defensive line, especially, which I think could cause mm-hmm. Trubisky some issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one for me to call. NFC East teams always just trip me up because I feel like they're two-faced, each and every one of them.
Yeah, I agree. They're a team that you never know if they're going to show up or not. They all have the capability of showing up.
Yeah.
How do you view Dak Prescott? Because I think that's a very controversial topic right now. I think that Dallas Cowboys fans think he's, you know, a top five quarterback in the league. Clearly he's not. But other fans are saying that he's one of the worst in the league.
I don't think he's one of the worst. I think as a passer, he's a little bit below average. I think decision-making,
yeah,
he's average. His ability as an athlete makes him covers up a lot of his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But his tandem with Zeke works well in a weird way.
It does. You're absolutely right with that. I would say that Dak Prescott, I would describe him as a limited quarterback. I don't know if you're with me on that. Yeah, I would say that he's
I agree with that.
Like average. I would say he's pretty average.
I think he's when you boil everything down, yeah, he's not above average. He's not necessarily below average. He's just flat out average.
Yeah. So I kind of view him in similar regard. This is going to sound bad, but I kind of view him in similar regards as I kind of view Andy Dalton almost.
Yeah. He's not going to win you a game. He might lose you a game.
Yeah, good way to put it. For me, this is a win.
I can't see the Bears going 10-3. That seems too good. I give them a loss on this one.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't see them losing in Lambeau in the next week either, though. Because I think that they win and they get that 10th win. And they end up becoming 10-4 because it's only a noon start. I think the Bears struggle a little bit in primetime Lambeau. They did win that one when they were retiring Favre's number. But I think the Bears, they struggle a little bit primetime in Lambeau. But it is a ruckus crowd. It's a rivalry. Big time environment. A lot of times the second game depends a lot on how the first game went. So
I agree.
It's interesting to think about. You kind of have to pre-plan ahead. But I think the Bears can actually take both games from Green Bay this season. I think Green Bay showed that they're vulnerable last year. The Bears took one from them. And I think that they should have taken two. That's for sure. And I think that the Bears make up for it this year. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to... I think he's going to struggle a little bit this year. And he struggled a little bit last year. I think eventually all these injuries and these health concerns are going to catch up to him.
Do you think he's declining right now?
I do think he's declining.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that he's still elite no matter what, even though he's not in the best part of his career. And yeah, I think that he is still easily... You can make the argument for him being the best quarterback. I don't agree with that, but he's still easily top three. But I don't think he is enough. And we started to see this last year in a lot of games. He is not enough to win them games anymore. Every game, and he's not enough against what this Bears defense should be this year. And, you know, if they stay healthy, what they will be at this point of the year. And it's a team that's going to be hungry. At this point, they're seeing what their record is. They're like, oh, we could chase, you know, home field advantage. And I think that they end up taking care of business. And I don't think it's even super tight. I think it's a game that they win by maybe a touchdown or 10 points.
Yeah, you know, I am always very cautious about Green Bay games, and I think that no matter what, we have a chance to lose to Green Bay because they have Aaron Rodgers. So I never I never really overlook Green Bay on the schedule, even though they I think they are a weak team. I do not like their head coach, but they still have Aaron Rodgers. And in my schedule predictions so far, the Bears are, let me think, they are 11-2 right now going into this Green Bay game. So they're doing really well. I think that they lose this game. I think that you know, a lot of this is going to be dependent on how Rodgers and LaFleur mesh. And I think that Chicago is by far the better team. But there's something about divisional games that right now, if I predicted them to win this game, we'd be 5-0 in divisional games. And I can't trust that. I can't do that. I think we're going to let one slip to Green Bay. And yeah, so 12-3 at this point. Wait, no.
11-3.
11-3. Yep. 11-3.
And I have them at 10-4. And I think what I would think around that time, I think that game, the way I see it, is that win against Green Bay gives the Bears a division because they'd be 10-6, and I think that'd probably give them the division. And I think
you're right.
I think they play Week 16 as Kansas City Chiefs. It's the last Sunday night game that they play in, which I think they play in 3, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing.
I'm pretty sure they're playing 5 primetime games this year.
Yeah, which is awesome, actually. And
yeah, that's the most you can be in, actually.
Yeah. So how about that?
They're playing 5 primetime and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's crazy, actually.
That's crazy. That's a lot of primetime games. Wow. The Bears are going to be in the spotlight.
Yeah. And I think they're going to do. They're going to do well in the spotlight. I don't know if against the Chiefs is their thing. And I'll tell you this, from being a Chargers fan, playing night games at Arrowhead is a nightmare.
This is in Chicago, though.
Oh, shit. You're definitely right. That's like, I read it wrong. So that actually changes things a lot for
but
me.
But thank you for you know, letting everyone
I was going to let you all know how bad even Philip Rivers struggles at Arrowhead. But, yeah, so I got him at 10-4. I think the Bears finish off 11-5, and this is gonna give away what I think the next game is. I think that this is their last win for the season, is against Kansas City. I think they.
Oh, so you have us winning at Kansas City?
Winning, well, versus. Okay. They're not. I think that they. This is a little bit of a 2-1 here. I think the Bears sit and rest some players against Minnesota, and I think they just kind of let it go.
Ah, okay.
I think they let it go, and it gives them 11-5. And I feel like they'll probably end up having them finish second. We'll have to see how everything else works out. But I think the Bears end up getting a bye, but not home field advantage this year.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they choose to rest some people against Minnesota instead of going full bore for home field advantage. I do think they get that win against Kansas City. I think it's going to be a tight one. I actually think it's going to be really high scoring. I think this is going to be the one high scoring game that the Bears manage to take, and I think it's because the Bears can exploit that defense with speed and using weapons like Taylor Gabriel,
Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, using Cordell Patterson,
Tariq Cohen,
exactly, all that. I think that they can really throw off that defense, and because it's a defense that they gave up a lot of points to. I remember the Rams last year put up 50 on them easy. I think the Chargers put up quite a few points on them. This is not a hard defense to score. If you're able to stop Mahomes for 2 to 3 possessions in that game, it's a game you can definitely win. And I think the Bears are able to do that. I think they're able to force a couple turnovers. All you have to do against this Chiefs offense is tougher than you can say it. But you really have to stop Mahomes from working the middle of the field a lot.
Because that's what he really does the most. He goes deep and he works the middle of the field.
Right, exactly. So you got to stop the work that he's going to want to do with Kelsey, and he's going to do with Tyreek Hill, right?
Oh, yeah.
So these are – and I think the Bears, once again, like I said, with the Eagles, mainly because of DeSean Jackson for the Eagles because of Tyreek Hill here, they're going to get burned in this game, but it's not going to cost them. I think they end up winning. I feel like you're going to disagree with me, though. I feel like you think that they lose this game.
No, I actually agree with you. I do think they win this game. I thought that you were going to say that we lose to Kansas City and win in Minnesota. But yeah, I think that we win the Kansas City game. You know, the Bears, I think the Bears will again have the top defense, or at least a top three defense. There's no, on paper, this team has top three defense talent. I think that they're going to definitely be in there. And I think you could say something similar about Kansas City, that they have the potential to be a top three offense. So, you know, you expect that to kind of even itself out. I know that we didn't play Kansas City last year in the regular season, but the Ravens played them and were able to keep them, I think, under 25 points. And if the Bears can do that, I think that the Bears win that game. I mean, that is not a tough defensive matchup. It's not tough for the Bears offensively to match up against the Kansas City defense. I know they have Tyrann Mathieu, and I know they just acquired Frank Clark. Jesus Christ, I can't speak in this episode.
Yeah, it's okay.
But besides those two pieces, this is not a really solid defense. Yeah, I think that's a win in Chicago. And at this point in my predictions, they are 12-3. And now we're in a little bit of a sticky situation, because it's very rare that a team has 12 wins and doesn't get a bye.
Yeah, that's very rare.
The Bears kind of got screwed last year because they had 12 wins and didn't get the bye. And you can blame the Panthers for that, because they let the Saints win when they were in a real slump, and they lost a game they should have won that would have, I believe, put the Bears in a bye. Nonetheless, if we play this game with our starters, I think this is a win. Again, I don't believe Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback. And that would put us at 5-1 in the division. The same thing we had last year, and 13-3 as the final record. But I think there is a realistic possibility that starters are rested at this point. And that we finish the season 12-4 again. Something that I want to bring up, just as we're kind of concluding the episode, I'm happy that we are playing a better schedule this year. I think the Bears were kind of, you know, they got lucky with an easy schedule, but they also didn't really have, they were blowing out bad teams, but they didn't have that much experience playing good teams. And I think that showed up to kind of bite them in the ass in the playoff game.
No, I agree. You need that experience. I think this is a team that can handle it now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to give them a couple of losses, and I think that's totally fine. I think this Bears team, if they end up finishing 11-5, that's better than the 12-4 they had last year getting through this schedule.
Agree.
And I think it'll set them up way better for the playoffs, because, you know, a lot of teams that could potentially play, they could have already played in their schedule.
Yeah, and we got really lucky, because it seems like a lot of the hard games we play are at home. I mean, we have Kansas City at home, Dallas at home, we have away at Rams, but we have Chargers and Saints at home. Like, a lot of these tough games are at home, and that gives me a lot more faith in building up a better overall season record, I'd say.
Yeah. I'm trying to look what your toughest road game is. The Rams,
yeah,
by far.
It has to be the Rams.
By far.
After that, it's the Eagles. And then after that, I guess you could say Green Bay or Denver, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. After that, it's kind of a shit shoot, you know?
Yeah, you could really pick a name out of the hat. And, you know, I think it's so often forgot when people are doing record predictions that a lot of this has to do with teams' health at the time. We might randomly, hopefully we don't, but we might randomly lose Trubisky in weeks 2 and 3 and lose those two games.
Right.
Absolutely a possibility. Hoping it doesn't happen, but, you know, I think that it's hard to say that overall record really says how good a team is, Because I would argue that the 12-4 Bears last year were better than the Rams who went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, I think the term that you're as good as your record, it doesn't mean anything, especially with the playoff structure that the NFL has. Yeah. Because it doesn't. So many teams win from the wild card.
Green Bay won the Super Bowl on a 9-7 season, if I remember correctly.
I don't know if it was 9-7, it may have been 10-6 though.
It might, yeah, it could have been 10-6.
I think they won all the way up from the wild card though.
Yeah, so.
But I think that's really it, and I think that's good for this episode, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, I just wanted to thank you guys. I know we might lose some fans during the transition into the Bear Necessities podcast, but this is just the direction we got to go. It's hard to succeed in the podcast industry, but we hope that you stick around. And even if you're not a Bears fan, you maybe look out in the future for another general NFL podcast from us. But for two college kids, this is just kind of what we got to do right now.
Yeah, yeah. I can totally reiterate that. Thank you all for all you guys decided to stick with the transition. I hope you enjoy the switch, and I hope that's something that gives you a better listening experience. Really trying to grind it out here and make this as good as a podcast as we can for all you guys that are listening. And thank you again. Hopefully you'll be hearing from us soon.
Yep. Have a good week, guys.